Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Pei Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The beginning of the shiur will be found at the bottom of Pei Aleph Omid Beis. The Mishnah mentioned that one who has conducts an act of intimacy with a heathen woman, Kanoin Pogenbo, it refers to people that are of a zealot nature, are entitled to kill the offender. The Mishnah, the Gemara says at the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Beis, Haboil Aramis, Bo Amine Rav Kana Me Rav. Rav Kana asked the question of Rav at the top now of Pei Beis Amud Aleph, Lo Pogubo Kanoye Mahu. Let us say that the zealots did not kill the offender. What is his punishment? Inche Rav Ligamre. Rav forgot. Inche means forgot. Rav forgot his gamre, his learning, meaning the learning that he received from his rabbi, from his instructor, on this matter. Akriuhu l'Rav Kana b'chame. Rav Kana received a dream, and it was told to him, Akriuhu, it was told to him in a dream, b'chame, in his dream, the following pasuk. And from the following pasuk, once Rav hears about this dream, it will remind Rav of what his learning, what his tradition on this particular matter was. So first we read the pasuk. Bogdo Yehuda v'soyev ones saw b'Yisrael v'Yushalayim ki chilel Yehuda kodesh Hashem asher ohev uvoal bas el nechor. That's the pasuk, and the Gemara will break it down as you can scan ahead. In the next few lines you see certain phrases underlined. That is the Gemara interpreting this pasuk. Also, Rav Kana came, Omar Le, Hochi Akriyun, and he told Rav, thusly, I was told in my dream. Upon hearing that, Adkere, Rav Legamre, that reminded Rav, Adkere, like from the word Lizkor, the Dalid in Aramaic, sometimes interchanges with a Zion in Hebrew. So here you have the word, the root of this word, Dalid Chof Resh, it's like Zion Chof Resh. So it means that Zohar is to remember. Rav remembered his Gamre, his learning on this particular topic. Before we go further, let us note in our markings that we have a long point marking, a nekuda aruka, a long point, that is illustrated by the nun that you see encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, followed by a dashed vertical line indicating the length of Rav's recounting. So we just mentioned that as a result of hearing this particular pasuk that Rav Kahana heard in his dream, Rav remembered what the din is regarding the person who was Boil HaRamas, who had intimacy with the heathen woman, and the Kanoim, the zealots, didn't get to him. So what does happen to him? The Gemara continues, Bogda Yehuda, Zu Avodas Kechavim. This is a reference to idolatry. V'cheinu Omer, Kain Bogadetem Bi Beis Yisrael Nu'um Hashem. The context of this pasuk is discussing rebelling or abandoning Hashem in the form of idolatry. And we've dashed underlined the word Bogadetem, because this is the word that connects us into the pasuk we're studying right now, Bogda. V'soyevo na'aso b'Yisrael b'Yushalayim. An abomination was done in the midst of Israel and Jerusalem. What is this abomination? Ze mishkav zohor. This is homosexuality. V'chein hu omer v'es zohor lo sishkav mishkavei isha. The male should not sleep with another male in the form of intimacy like one would do with a woman. Toevohi. This is an abomination. And again, we've dashed underlined the toevo word here, connecting us with the pasuk that we are studying. You can see the first word in the last underlined phrase. Ki chivel Yehuda kodesh Hashem. Zu zoyna. This is a reference to the practice of harlotry, where a person is mafkir his daughter. He allows her to practice an immoral lifestyle. conducting intimacy with all kinds of people, anyone other than her husband. V'chein hu omer loi, and we're going to read the girsa on the inside of the margin, lo siya kedesha mi b'nois Yisrael. The word kedesha we've dashed underlined because this is the tie-in to the word kodesh that we see quoted over here in the underlined section. Ubal bas el nechar, the Gemara goes on, ze habo alakusis, and this in truth is a reference to the topic that we are studying right now. What is the din of someone who has relations with a heathen woman? In this case, she's termed a kusis. It says that the pasuk we're studying, ubal bas el nechar, is a reference to one who has intimacy with a heathen woman. Uksiv basrei. And following that, it says in Malachi, this pasuk that we're engaged in right now is from Malachi Perek Beis. The pasuk started pasuk Yud Aleph, and now this is a reference to that which it says Basrei right afterwards in pasuk Yud Beis. Yachreis Hashem lo ish asher yaseno er ve'oine me'ohale yankiv umagish mincho v'ashem tzevokais. The Gemara will explain the relevant parts of this pasuk momentarily, but it says there will be cut off from this man that does this, what will be cut off from him? Er v'oina mi'ole yankov. The Gemara now explains. Im Talmud Chacham, we've used a double underline to emphasize the two possibilities here. Im Talmud Chacham hu, if the offender is a scholar, lo ye lo er b'chachomim, he will not be able to be er, usually is explained as attentive or awake. In other words, he won't have... offspring, or maybe he himself as well, will no longer be able to participate amongst the sages. The oine b'talmidim im koyin hu lo yelo ben magish mincho v'ashem tzevokos. And if the offender was a koyin, so he won't be zochet, he won't merit having a son to offer a mincha offering in the Beis HaMikdash. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a structural note. Before we go on, though, let's just summarize what we have just done. Rav was asked, what is the din of a person who engages in immorality with a heathen woman and the zealots didn't kill him? So the answer is what we just saw here, that, well, depending on what kind of offender he is, he won't merit having offspring to continue in what he was doing, whether he be a Talmud Chacham or he be a Kohen. The Gemara goes on with these triangles that we've noted. They are explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh, the structural note. Meimros Reb Chiya Bar Avuya. We have two comments made by Reb Chiya Bar Avuya. The first one ties in directly to our sugya, the issue of having intimacy with a heathen woman. The second comment of his is brought in, Rashi says, only because he's making this first comment. But the second comment doesn't have any direct relationship to the sugya. Amar Reb Chiya Bar Avuya, kol habo ala kusis, anyone who conducts intimacy with a heathen woman, ki'ilu mischatim avodis kechovim, it's considered as if he's marrying an idol. Dichtiv, uboal bas el nechor. This pasuk, we actually were just engaged in studying at the upper part of the page, Malachi Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph. So this reference, Uboal Bas El Nechor, is a reference to Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya's comment. How do we see that here? V'chi Bas Yeshlo Le'El Nechor, does an idol have a Bas, a daughter? So, hello, Ze Habo Alakusis. Rather, it's a reference to someone who has intimacy with a heathen woman, and as Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya explained, it's as if he's marrying the idol. V'omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya. As we said before, the next piece of Gemara is not related to our sugi, other than the fact that it's Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya that's introducing this. The Nosei topic heading that we have on the side, it's a Maisa, we have a story. Gugoto Shel Yehoyachin, the skull of Yehoyakim, the king Yehoyakim, he was a king that lived at the latter part of the, toward the end of the Bayis Rishon, the first temple period. He was also known for his extreme involvement with offenses against the Torah, including idol worship. And it's the Maisa here involves the discovery of his skull, the Kosuv Alov Zois Ve'Oid Acheres, and it was etched on his skull these words, this and something else. And we'll see in the Gemara, this is a reference to the fact that he is not zochet, didn't merit having a proper burial, and the fact that his skull is found rolling around, and then something else. And we'll leave all of you in suspense until we find out what that something else is. Before we continue reading the Gemara, we want to note a long Maisa marking. This you'll find in the space in the between the Gemara and the Rashi, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The word Maisa is encircled, and this marking features the length of the Gemara dedicated to this particular story. So we continue now in the Gemara. It was found written on his skull these words. Zekeno de Rebbe Preda, the grandfather of Rebbe Preda, who happens to be Rebbe Chiya bar Avuya, Ashka Hahu Gulgota, he found a skull, the Havishadya, that was cast out, Bishari Yerushalayim, in the gates of Jerusalem, Vavikosov Iluya, and it was written on this skull, Zois Vioid Acheres. A certain type of vengeance was done to him already, and as we mentioned before, he was a major offender of Torah laws, and as a result of that, he was to suffer this disparagement, denigration. This and something else will happen. So Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya found the skull, Kovra, he buried the skull, V'hadar Novug, and then it reemerged. And this happened again, Kovra, V'hadar Novug. Omar, Rabbi Chiya came to the conclusion, Hi, Gulgalta Shel Yehoyakim. This must be the skull of King Yehoyakim. Dechtiv Bey, regarding him, the Pasuk says, Kvuras Chamor Yikover, the burial of a donkey, he will be buried, Sachoy V'Hashlech Meholo L'Shari Yushalayim, and he will be cast out onwards into the gates of Jerusalem. So being that pasuk was said concerning Yehoyakim, and we see this skull cast out in the gates of Jerusalem, he put two and two together and concluded that this was Yehoyakim's skull. Omar, well, Rabbi Chiya said, reasoned as follows, Malkahu v'lav orach ariel levzuye. He was a king, and because of his office, regardless of his own personal practices, but the office that he occupied was one of great honor. V'lav orach aro, it is not of proper behavior, livzuye, to denigrate, to insult it or denigrate it. Therefore, shakla, karcho b'shiroi, took the skull, wrapped it in shiroi, in material, the oisfei b'sifto, and he put it in a box. Asoi devisu chazisa. His wife, devisu was his wife, came, Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya's wife came, chazita, and she noticed what he was doing. Nafkis, she went out, Amr lehu l'shivivusa. She told her neighbors, Amrile, the neighbors said, oh, what he's doing there with that skull, you know what? Hi, the itza the kamaisahi. This is the skull of his first wife, the lo kominshila, that he's unable to forget. Shagrasa letanur v'kolsa. So his wife, Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya's wife, fired up her oven, her stove, and v'kolsa, and burnt the skull. So not only was the skull cast out in denigration in the gates of Jerusalem, but it was also eventually burnt in the oven. Ki osa Omar, when Rabbi Chiya came and found out what happened, he said, Hainu de kosev iluya, now I understand what it says regarding him, Zois v'oid acheres. This and something else. This is the fact that he didn't experience a normal burial in the sense that his skull was cast out. And furthermore, it was eventually burnt. As we go on the Gemara, we notice another structural marking. We have on the side a nosei mivneh, a topic heading and structural note. We feature these double underlines. It's noted, beis deois, these are two opinions, ma gozru beis din shel chashmonoi, what was the ruling of the court of the chashmonoi, beinyan haboal akusis, with regard to one who conducts intimacy with a heathen woman, al mahu chayov, what is he guilty of, what is he considered guilty of? In other words, the act itself is clear, having relations, intimacy with a heathen woman. The rabbis ascribed to this particular offense four types of offense that he is labeled with, and they are referred to by the abbreviations either Nashga or Nashgaz. The three of them are in agreement between the two opinions that we're going to see now, Rav Dimi and Ravin, whose names are double underlined in the Gemara, they agree on the first three. However, regarding the Aleph and the Zayin, we will see their disagreement. So let's find out what this is. Ki also Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came, he told us, Beis Dinoi Shel Chashmonai Gozru, the court of the Chashmonaim ruled the following. Habo ala kusis, one who has intimacy with a heathen woman, chayav oleo mishum nash ga. He is in violation of four offenses. These are the abbreviations of Nida, Shivcha, Goya, Vieshis Ish. A Nida woman, a Shivcha, a bondmaid, Goya, a idol worshipper, Vieshis Ish, and a married woman. The truth is that a heathen woman doesn't have these characteristics on a Torah level, some of them that is. For example, Nida, she does not become a Nida from the Torah level. And Eishes Ish also, we cannot describe her as a Torah level Isur Doraisa married woman. But nevertheless, the rabbis felt that if one engages in relations with a heathen woman, eventually such a person, because of his loose moral standard, can actually come to violating true Eishes Ish. So they've already labeled him as that right now. Ki also Ravin Omar Mishum Nashgaz. He says that the four are abbreviated as that, and here they're spelled out, and we've scribbled on the line the appropriate letters that spell out the abbreviation. Nida, Shivcha, Goya, Zona. Avol Mishum Ishus Les Lehu. It's pointed out that three of the things they agree in, the Nida, Shivcha, and Goya categorization. However, Zona is what Ravin says takes the place of Ishus, Ashes Ish, married woman. There's a Rashi that comments about halfway down the page. You'll notice we've inserted a little star to help you find it more easily. Avol Ishus Ein Lehem Shestam Kusis Mufkeres. The standard heathen woman is someone that is free, a free lifestyle. The Einam Yuchedis Labailan, she doesn't consider herself reserved for her husband only. And as a result of that, we cannot consider the heathen wife, the heathen married woman, as a real Eishes Ish in our Torah standard. And therefore, one who does conduct relations, intimacy with a heathen woman, according to Ravin, he would be viewed as having relations with a zona, with a harlot, as opposed to a married woman. Going on in the Gemara, though, v'idach Rabbi Rav Dimi, who did say that relations with a heathen woman is considered a violation of Eishes Ish, he says, Nashaihu vadai lo mifkuri. The wives of heathen men, they don't abandon them or let them loose to the same degree as one would view a harlot. Therefore, since they don't totally free them, I feel that you can consider them, says Rav Dimi, as a form of Eishes Ish. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll take note of our topic heading, and we've written in here, Nosei. This is a topic that's until Ad Omid Beis. Haboyel Aramis Kanoin Poginbo, one who has relations with the heathen woman so the zealots can attack him, can kill him. Umaisa Pinchas, and we'll introduce the story, and the Gemara will spend a lot of time on the incident involving Pinchas, the grandson of Aaron HaKohen, who killed Zimri and Cosby. Zimri, the head of Shevet Shimon, while he was conducting intimacy with Cosby, a princess from the Midian people. Omar of Chizda, Habo Limlach, Ein Morin Lo, a Kanoi, a zealot, that comes to inquire of Bezdin what to do at the moment that the incident is taking place, that he sees a Jewish man conducting intimacy with a heathen woman. So Ein Morin Lo means the Bezdin does not paskin for him. They don't rule, go ahead and kill him. Itmar Nami Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chanom Rav Yochanan Habo Limlach Ein Morin Lo. They don't instruct him to kill. V'lo Od. And now the Gemara rolls over into the incident involving Pinchas, starting off with some halachic applications, some legal applications of what is derived or what is appropriate for that particular incident. Before we go into the Gemara itself, though, we just want to note how we've put in the side of the Gemara, to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, the word Pinchas, the name Pinchas, is written and circled. Following it is a long, dashed, vertical line that continues till Omid Beis, more than halfway down. This indicates that all of this Gemara is dedicated to Pinchas. So this certainly will help in one's concentration as to what is going to come up in the Gemara. So as we continue, V'lo od, not only does the court not rule, Elashim Piresh Zimri, if in the incident of immorality that we described in our introduction, where the head of the tribe of Shimon was conducting relations with Cozbi, a heathen woman, a princess from Midian, if Zimri would have separated himself, V'horgoi Pinchas, and Pinchas afterwards would have killed Zimri, namely, after he departed from the woman, physically, bodily separated from the woman, Pinchas would have, at that point, had no right to kill him. Neheragolov, Pinchas himself, would have been subject to the death penalty. Nefach Zimri v'horgol Pinchas, and if Zimri would have flipped around and killed Pinchas, Pinchas, of course, was the grandson of Aaron who did kill Zimri. But had Zimri flipped around and killed Pinchas, ein nerag olav sharei roidevhu, Pinchas, Zimri himself would not have been subject to a death penalty for killing Pinchas, because Pinchas, as far as Zimri was concerned, was a roidev, was a pursuer. Pinchas was pursuing pursuing to the death Zimri. Vayomer Moshe al Shoftei Yisrael, Hirgu Ish, we've written in between the lines, Hirgu Ish Anoshav HaNitzmodim Lebal Peor. The topic in Bamidbar Chof Hei, in the chapter Chof Hei in Sefer Bamidbar, describes the Jewish people getting involved with the worship of the Baal Peor, and in that incident, we find that the head of Shevet Shimon, after hearing, who is Zimri, who is the topic of our discussion, as well as Pinchas, of course, he heard Moshe Rabbeinu's order to the Shoftei Israel, to the judges of Israel, ordering them to kill all those who were involved with the idolatrous practice to the Baal Peor idol. Holach Shiftoi Eitzel Shimon, the tribe of Shimon, the population of Shimon, went Eitzel Zimri ben Salu. They went to this man, who happened to be the Nosi, the chief of that particular tribe, Omrulo, and they said to him, they cried out to him, Hein donen dinei nefoshos, ve'ato yoshev v'shosek, listen to them, they're ruling on matters of life and death, they're ordering the execution of all these people who are involved with this idolatry, and you're sitting in quiet. You're not saying anything, you're not protesting. Ma osa? So what did he do? Omad v'kibetz chof dalet elef miyisrael. He went and gathered 24,000 people. V'holach Eitzel Cozbi, and he went to Cozbi, this Midianite princess. Omar lo, Hashmi'i li. Zimri said to her, have intimacy with me. Omar lo, Bas Melech ani, I am a princess. V'chein tzivo li abo, and thusly my father commanded me. Lo tishme'i elo legodol shebehem. Do not yield in intimacy unless it happens to be the leader of them. In this case, we could say that her father told her that if you're going to behave, if you're going to conduct an act of intimacy, do it only with their leader. Omar lo, so Zimri said to her, afhu, he said on himself. Sometimes people speak about themselves in the third person, and that's what's happening here. He says, afhu, on himself, he says, I too, nasi shevetu, I'm also a chief, I'm also a leader, I'm the leader of a tribe, v'lo od, and not only that, ela shehu godol mimenu. On himself, he says, I, Zimri, who was the head of Shevet Shimon, is bigger, is greater than Moshe, who was from the tribe of Levi. So in the order of the birth of the sons of the of Yaakov, the tribes of Israel, we have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So in the order of things, Shimon is number 2 and Levi is number 3, as the Gemara explains. Shehu Sheni Lebet, and Shimon was the second of the birth of the births. The Hu Levi, which is the tribe from which Moshe Rabbeinu came, Shlishi Lebetin. And he's only from the third birth. Therefore, I have an aspect of greatness over him. So if you were instructed to yield to the leader, I'm the man. Tafsa b'lorisa, he grabbed her by her hair, v'hevio etzel Moshe, and he brought her to Moshe. Namely, Zimri brought Cosby to Moshe. Omar lo, Zimri said. And he said to Moshe in an offhanded way, he called him Ben Amram. He said to him, you the son of Amram, which was Moshe Rabbeinu's father, Zu Asura Oy Muteris, is she, referring to Cosby, forbidden, or is she allowed? The Im Tomar Asura, and if you deign to say that she is forbidden, then I want to know about your own wife, Bas Yisro, Mihat Tiroloch, the daughter of Yisro, as is known, Moshe Rabbeinu married the daughter of Yisro, and at the time that he married her, she was not Jewish, who therefore allowed her to you. So just like you took a woman who at the time that you married her was not Jewish, so too I have all the rights to take this Midianite princess, Cosby. Nisalma mimenu halacha. At that point, it escaped Moshe Rabbeinu the law. The law that said at Sinai that one who has relations with a kusis, kanoyin pogenbo. Before we go further, it should be noted that Moshe Rabbeinu married the Bas Yisro before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah. When the Torah was given, at that point there was essentially the conversion of Klal Yisro. That means the Jewish people became officially the Jewish people in the sense of having been converted to the Torah religion of Judaism. So as far as Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned, there should be no concern for us. He married her before Matan Torah, and at Matan Torah, she became part of the Jewish people, along with all the rest of what we call the offspring of Yaakov Avinu. At this point, though, we're dealing with after Matan Torah, and Zimri wants to take this heathen woman, paralleling her in his mind to Moshe Rabbeinu's marriage to Tzipporah, the daughter of Yisro. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that it escaped Moshe Rabbeinu what the halacha is, that we just said that one who has relations with a kusi, the zealots, can kill him. Go kulam bivchiyah, all those that were around cried out. The Hainu Dichtiv, and based on that, they have the Pasuk says, Vehema Boichem Pesach Oel Moed, and they were all crying at the entrance to the entrance of the Oel Moed, of the Mishkan. Uksiv Vayar Pinchas Ben Elazar. And it also says, at that point in the Torah, that Pinchas Ben Elazar beheld, he saw something. Ma'ra, what did he see? At this point in the Gemara, we see a diamond feature, which is one of our series markings. The diamonds that we see here have colored in tips to distinguish them from the diamonds that were on the facing page, this being a new unrelated sugya, of course, and in our marking system, when you have two facing pages, we want to avoid as much as possible repeat markings so that you can distinguish each series from the previous one. Before we go on, we have a note on the inside margin, on the outside margin, the Mivneh note, with the colored in diamond featured. Pirushim Shonim, different explanations, La Posuk Vayar Pinchas Ben Elazar. What concerning that which he beheld, that which he saw. Omar Rav, we continue in the Gemara. Ra'a Maisa V'nizkar Alocha. He saw an incident and he reminded himself of the Alocha. Omar Lo, Pinchas said to Moshe, Achi Abi Abba, brother of my grandfather. His grandfather, Pinchas' grandfather was Aaron. Moshe was Aaron's brother. So he says to him, great uncle, Lo kach limaditani b'rilchom har sinai. Did you not thusly teach me when you descended from Mount Sinai, haboyolos eskusis, one who has intimacy with a heathen woman, kanoyin poigin bo, zealots can kill him? Omar lo. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, if that's what you're saying, then you go ahead and do it. Karaino de Grisa, we're going to translate this expression literally, the one who reads the letter, Karaino de Grisa, the one who reads the letter, Ihu leve parvancha, so let him be the agent to carry out its contents.
Ushmuel Amar, Ra'ah, he saw, Pinchas saw, She'ein Chochma ve'ein Tevuna ve'ein Eitzah neged Hashem. This is a pasuk which is explained by the Gemara immediately. Kol makom she'yesh chilul Hashem, wherever there is going to be a desecration of God's name, ein chilkin kavod l'rav. There is no need to bestow honor to the rav, to the rabbi, to the instructor. And the application of this concept of kol makom she'yesh chilul Hashem ein chilkin l'rav. Is applied here as follows. He was Moira Halocha Bifnei Ravo. He ruled, Pinchas ruled, and didn't wait to get permission from Moshe, his Rav. He was allowed to do that because this was an incident involving Chilul Hashem, the desecration of God's name. Rabbi Yitzchok Omar, Rabbi Lozer, Ra'o Shebo Malach V'Hishchis Ba'am. Pinchas saw that an angel had descended and started killing the people, and he felt, I've got to take action. The pasuk says, "Vayokom mitoicho edo." Pinchas arose from the Sanhedrin, "Vayikach romach biyado," and he took a spear in his hand. In other words, while he was sitting in the Sanhedrin, he did not have this spear. Mikan, from this point that it says in the pasuk, he arose and eventually took the spear. Mikan, we learn from here, Shein nechnosim b'klei zayin lebeis hamedrash, that one is not allowed to enter a beis medrash, a place of Torah study, with arms, klei zayin, or armaments, with arms. As we see in this pasuk, only when he left the Sanhedrin, which is a place of Torah study, then did he take the spear. Shalaf shinana, he withdrew, he took out, he disconnected the metal blade that makes up the spear. He disconnected it from its wooden handle. That's shalaf shinana. Shinana is a reference to that which is sharp. Venicha buunkaloi. And he put the metal under his coat. Unkelo is malbush, is garment. As far as the stick that constituted the handle of the spear, he used that as a walking stick. Vehoya nishan, he relied upon, he rested upon it. Veholech al maklo, and walked along with this as a stick, as a walking stick. So he's, let's just go over the scenario here. We have under his garment, he has hidden the blade, and he's walking along with a stick, which was the handle of the spear. V'keivan shigia etzel shivtoi shel Shimon, when he got to the area that Shimon was encamped in, of course, let's not forget, we're describing a story that took place when the Jews were in the desert, and each tribe was encamped in its specified location. So Pinchas came to where Shimon was located. Omar, Pinchas said, before we go on, just a little bit of a lead up here. Pinchas is about to encounter the tent, if you will, or the booth, in which Zimri is going to be having intimacy with Cosby. Pinchas comes along and he feigns himself as being someone that wants to join them in their immorality. So he says, and he's doing this as a ploy to get in and finish off the offenders. So he says, Omar, Hechon Motsinu Sheshifto Shel Levi Godol Mishel Shimon. Where do we find the tribe of Levi Godol to be more holy and separate, and in Hebrew the word is porush, more strict in their moral behavior? Where do we find him to be greater than the Shevet of Shimon? And what's he trying to say? He says, listen, if you guys are acting in this loose fashion, so there's no reason why I, who am from Shevet Levi, can't do the same. Omru, so they, upon hearing that, they said, Hanichu lo, oh, leave him be. In other words, let him come in. Afhu lasos srochav. He also wants to practice this immorality. Nichnas, so enters Pinchas.
And as he enters, those that are standing around say the following: Hitiru Prushim es hadover. It looks like the Prushim, the pious ones, have ruled that this is allowed. So they're probably all very happy that what they're engaged in their immorality is something now that even the pious ones say is okay. Well, of course, as we said before, this was all a ploy. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Nisim Nasu Loi Lepinchas. At this point, there were six miracles that happened to Pinchas. And before we go on, we'll jump ahead a little bit and just say that Pinchas enters. He notices that Zimri is in the midst of an act of immorality with Cosby, and he spears the two of them together and eventually carries them out of that tent. There, at that point, six miracles took place, and the Gemara enumerates them. Echad shehoyalo leZimri lifrosh velo piresh. When Pinchas entered, Zimri should have separated himself from the woman, but he didn't. He just continued in his act of intimacy. The echad, and another miracle, shehoyalo ledaber velo diber. He should have called out for help, and he remained silent. The echad, and a third miracle, shekiveng bezachrusu shel ish ubenakvusu shel isha. Pinchas was successful in spearing them exactly through the organs that are responsible for the act of intimacy, through the male organ of the man and the female of the woman, and the female organ of the woman. And the significance of that, Rashi points out, shekiveng bezachrusu benakvusa, v'ro oisam dvukim zebozeh, and everyone saw the two of them stuck to one another, v'yodu, and they understood, shenitan rishus v'kanoi levgoyabo, and that showed them or reminded them that the zealot has a right to kill them, v'lo yomru, and they wouldn't say sino hoisa b'libol of that his killing of them was because of some kind of personal vendetta, personal hate that he had toward them. But no, since the spear speared them is very directly and exactly in that particular anatomical location, that showed everyone what was behind this particular murder. Continuing, number four, the echod shelo nishmetu min haromach, and the fourth miracle is that they didn't slip off the spear. That being that what happened, he speared them and carried, made it seem to be a very fairly impressive act of strength here, but all the same, he was able to carry them out while still skewered on the spear, and they didn't slip off, demonstrating that his execution of them was just. The echod shebo malach v'igbia es hamashkof. A fifth miracle is that as he was carrying them out, that means as Pinchas was carrying out these two offenders on a spear, you can imagine there's a great deal of height involved. Two human beings lifted over Pinchas' head, so to speak, as he's carrying them out. He's not dragging them out, but rather he's picked them up in the air. What about the doorway? So the fifth miracle is that a malach came and raised the entranceway, the mashkof, the entranceway, to enable him to get out and that they shouldn't fall off the spear and then not accomplish what we just mentioned before. Number six, the echod shebo malach v'hishchis ba'om. At this point, when he was killing them, an angel came and killed numerous people of the population, and that caused them to be preoccupied with their own deaths. All those that were dying around them, and they didn't have did not pay attention to Pinchas, and therefore not turn on him. Bo v'chovton lifnei hamokim. Pinchas came along and cast them down in front of Hashem. Omar lefonav. Pinchas said, "Ribonu shel olam, al elu yiplu chov dalid elef mi Israel." And because of these, 24,000 people of Israel should die. Shinemar, the pasuk says, "By you hamesim b'magefa arbo v'esrim elef." There were 24,000 people that died during this plague that we just described, that while this immorality was taking place, we mentioned that a malach was killing in the people, 24,000 people died. So Pinchas was saying, because of these two offenders, so many people should die? V'hainu dichtiv v'yamod Pinchas v'yipaleo. And regarding this, the pasuk says that Pinchas stood and v'yipaleo. Amar Rabbi Elazar v'yispalel lo ne'amar. It doesn't use the standard word of prayer is v'yispalel elo v'yipaleo. What is the significance of this word? In other words, dropping the tuf in the word. Melame, this teaches us, kiviyochol, as if to say, shasa plivus im kona. Plivus meaning an argument, as if he conducted an argument against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kona, the creator. As we just mentioned before, Pinchas didn't simply daven, supplicate the Kodesh Baruch Hu in prayer, but rather he argued in a forceful fashion, and that's what's conveyed by the term Vayipalel. Bikshu Malachei Ashoris L'dochvo, the angels wanted to push him away. What kind of business is this for a human being to issue argumentative remarks to HaKodesh Baruch Hu? Omar Lohem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hanichu lo, leave him be. Kanoi ben Kanoihu. He is the descendant, he is a zealot, descendant of a zealot. Namely, this is a reference to Levi, who demonstrated the same characteristics many years before when his sister Dina was taken by Shem for their act of immorality. So, Levi, in that particular incident, when his sister Dina was a participant in this in that particular story of immorality, they went. Levi, Shimon, and Levi went and killed off the people of that town. And he continues. Kodesh Baruch Hu continues describing Pinchas not only as a Kanoi ben Kanoi, but he's also Meishiv Chemo ben Meishiv Chemo. He's also the descendant of one who is Meishiv Chemo. That means one who quiets the wrath. Kodesh Baruch Hu, as we saw just a moment before, was full of wrath at this point when the act of immorality was being conducted. And he, Pinchas, came along and tried to quiet that wrath by killing Zimri and Cosby. Desire to be a Meshiv Chema, to quiet wrath, is characteristic of his own grandfather, Aaron, who also was responsible for quieting the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he was Makdir the Ketores, he offered up an incense offering during the Korach rebellion incident, which also was responsible, which at that time also many people died, and by offering up the Ketores, by offering up the incense offering, Aaron stopped that particular death. So let us read this line again. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the Malachi Asharas, Hanichulo, Kanoi ben Kanoihu, Meshiv Chemo ben Meshiv Chemohu. Hischilu Shvotim Mivazinoso. At this point, the fellow tribes started to insult Pinchas. And they didn't like the fact that he took the law into his own hands, so to speak, and executed Zimri. So they started to embarrass him and disparage him. And they said as follows, Ra'isim ben Puti zeh, shepitem avi'imoy agolim lavodis kechovim, v'horag nosi shevet mi Yisrael. Did you see this guy, ben Puti? Well, this Ben Puti is an attempt to make reference to the fact that he was a descendant from Yisrael. The term shepite means to fatten up. In fact, if you look at the word pitem, you might see the word fat hidden in that word. He pitem, he fattened up calves, agolim, to avodah zorah, to idols. As is known, Yisrael was a priest who served in idols' temples and offered all kinds of sacrifices to those idols. And Pinchas being a descendant from him, so they said, look at this guy whose background is quite dubious has the nerve to kill a leader of a tribe of Israel. Well, upon hearing that, Bo HaKosav Yichaso, at that point, the Torah comes and offers his Pinchas's wonderful background and his genealogical background, saying the following: Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akoyin. Pinchas is the son of Elazar, the grandson of Aaron, the high priest. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe regarding Pinchas, Hakadem loy shalom, greet him with peace. Shenemar lochein emor, hinini noisein loy es brisi shalom. I have given him the covenant of peace. Ureuya kapora zu, and it is fitting that this atonement that Pinchas was successful in carrying out, shetei mechaperes v'eleches la'olam, that it should have everlasting effects. Rashi spends a little bit of time dealing with the background of Yisro, of the background of Pinchas and associating Pinchas with Yisro. It is true that Pinchas has some background tracing to Yisro. At the same time, he has the obvious background being traced to Aaron. As far as his background to Yisro is concerned, so Rashi spells out the details, and we have included a little bit of a chart that one can see on the side of the Gemara that can help you out. Continuing in the Gemara itself, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav, Mai Dichtiv Zarzir Mosnayim Oitayish Umelech Alkum Imoi. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. The Gemara explains what is meant here. Arba meis ve'esim ve'arba be'ilois bo'al oisoi rosha oisoi hayom. The word zarzir has a numerical value of 424. So the word zarzir is a reference to that number, 424. Acts of intimacy were conducted by that evil one, a reference to Zimri, on that day, the day we just described above, with Pinchas coming and executing them. V'himtin lo Pinchas ad shetoshash kocho, and Pinchas waited. The word himtin is derived from the word mosnayim that was in the pasuk. Pinchas waited for him for him to become weak. Apparently, he had a great deal of strength. He was able to conduct 424 acts of intimacy in one day. So he waited for him to get weak. This is from the expression O Taish that was in the pasuk Toshash. You can see a similarity, meaning weakened. The who, and Pinchas didn't, Eino Yodea, Pinchas himself didn't know, Shemelech Alkum Imo, that the Almighty was with him. The word alkum was in the pasuk. That means kol hakomoi shelo, all things that are established or set up are his. Namely, that the Almighty, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, sets up everything, is in charge of everything. B'masnisa tana, in a Tanaic source, there is a different number that's given. Shishim, there were 60 acts of intimacy. Ad shinase kebeitza hamuzeres, until his beitzim became like a beitza hamuzeres, weakened and mixed up, where the Rashi explains that his shichva zera within became all nisbalbel because of all of this excessive act of immorality. Vehi hoisa ke'aruga malei amayim, and she was like a furrow filled with water. And the reference is apparent to all that understand. Omar Rav Kahana, u'moshava, Rav Kahana points out that the space that she occupied, that Cosby occupied when she sat down, equals beisa, was an area the size of a beisa. Toni Rav Yosef, kever shelo amo, the entrance to her womb had the size of an amo, a particular measure. Omar Rav Sheshesh, lo Cosby shma, elo Shvilnoi bas Tzur shma. Her name really wasn't Cosby. Her real name was Shvilnoi. The Loma Nikra shma Cosby. Why does the Torah refer to her by this term? The term Cosby is a name or a word that has to do with lying, like Kozov. Kozov means a lie. So how does that tie into this? She Kozva be'aviyah. She she didn't follow what her father instructed. It's a form of lying. She didn't follow what her father said. Her father said to be with, in immorality, with the greatest of them, and she went with someone other than the greatest, other than the actual leader. Davar Acher, another interpretation, Kozbi, equals She'omra Lovia. She told her father, Kois bi om ze. The word Kozbi, the Zion being interchanged with the Samach here, Kos means to shecht, to slaughter. Slaughter these people, reference. She was interested in her father killing the Jewish people. Vahainu the Amri Inchi. And based on this incident, there is a saying that arose. Bain koni l'urbani shvilnoi mai baya. Bahadi kilfi de koni shvilnoi mai baya. Gofsa l'ima. So we will offer some explanation for this. Bain koni l'urbani, the area between the reeds and the arova, different kinds of reed plants. The urbani is described as an arova daka, a thin willow. So the area, which is an area that if one enters in a place where these things are growing, they can become secluded. People don't see what's going on within the area that these, that reeds and willows are planted. So it's called a mokom yichud. The common saying is, what's Shvilnoi doing over there? And it's a rhetorical question, meaning she certainly has gone there for immorality. And it's repeated, Bahadi Kilfi Dekani, amongst the bark of the reeds, what's Shvilnoi doing? Gofsa Lima. Gofsa is a word referring to immorality. Rashi explains Gofsa Lima, Hin Ifa Ima. Niuf is a word referring to immorality. Klomar hotzia shein kifiyosa ima. By her behavior, she's casting a bad name on her mother. She kevan shezinsa, that once she conducts the act of immorality, kairin oisa, they refer to her as the following disparaging remark, zoina bas zona, the harlot, the daughter of a harlot. So since a girl behaves in an immoral fashion, it casts a bad light on her mother as well. That's the term, gofsa le'ima. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, chamisha shemos yesh loi. This man, the head of Shimon, has five names. Zimri, uben Salu, v'sha'ul, uben haknanis, v'shlumiel, ben suri shadoi. The Gemara now refers to each one of the names, what is referred to or what's hinted in each name. We've underlined them as they come along. Zimri, al shenase kebeitza hamuzeres. His name is Zimri because of what we mentioned before, that as a result of the extensive immorality of intimacy that he conducted, so his own organs became confounded. Ben Salu, al shehisli avoinois shel mishpachtoi. The second explanation that's presented in Rashi, that is the shehisli avonos, he caused the sins of his family to be checked out and be dealt with strictly. Shaul, al shehishil atzmo ledvar avera, that he gave himself over, he loaned himself out for an act of immorality. Ben haknanis, al she'osa maisa kenan, in that he did the act that's characteristic of the Canaanites. The Canaanites were known for their extreme immorality. Uma shmoi, what's his actual name? Shlumiel ben Suri Shadoi shmo. Kayin shishimesh betuma. Let us, before we go on in the Gemara, take a note of the topic heading. Ma dinoi shel kohen hamashamesh betuma. What is the law applying to a kohen who, when he is ritually impure, nevertheless continues to serve in the Beis Hamikdash? Bo minei Rav Acha bar Huna merav Sheshes. Kohen shishimesh betuma chayav misa bidei shamayim oy ein chayav misa bidei shamayim. The question is raised of Rav Sheshes, someone, the Kohen who serves in the Beit HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. We added to our Gemara Aleph and Beis. Is he Chayav Misa B'Dei Shamayim? Oh, Beis, or is he Ein Chayav Misa B'Dei Shamayim? We, in our markings, like to refer to the two sides of questions with an Aleph, O, Beis. The term usually you find very often in other Gemaras, O Dilma, or possibly. Sometimes you don't find that. You simply find the word O, and we'll squiggle underline that to signify the point at which the second alternative is presented. So the question is he Chayav Misa? Is he guilty of death at the hands of heaven or not? Omar Le, Rav Sheshes answers. Before we go further, let us take note of the fact that we're going to encounter now a long answer. We've denoted that by the tuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. So Rav Sheshes says, well, we can derive it that he is exempt. He is not guilty of Misa B'dei Shemayim from the following source. So the Gemara will present the source, and after the source, offer a little bit of commentary, with which we will come to Rav Sheshes' desired conclusion, namely that he's exempt. Tanisua, let us learn from the following Tanaic source. Kayin Shishimesh Betuma, Ein Echav HaKayinim, Vivino Yisoy LeBeistin, a Kohen who served in the temple in a state of impurity, his fellow Kohanim do not bring him to court. The Pirche, the young Kohanim, take him, the Kohen that served in the state of Tumah, outside the courtyard. And they smash his skull with sticks. If one were to think, says Rav Sheshes, that there is guilt of death at the hands of heaven, then they should have left him to be killed by Shemayim. The fact that there's some kind of human intervention, as was featured in the source, that the young Kohanim have a right to take him out and kill him, this shows that there would have been no other heavenly intervention otherwise. We have now a brackets in the Gemara. This is explained by the note on the side of the Gemara where you see an asterisk. What is the role, and before that, also just note the length of this bracketed section, and you can do that by noting the length marker, the vertical dashed dotted line. And you'll find at the point at which this mark ends, on that line also the brackets are closed. What's the point here? Actually, we should also note that right after the brackets, one will notice a diamond marking. That is the beginning of a series, as all geometric forms are in our marking system. The role of these brackets is described as follows, noting the note on where the star is. Achrei ha-sograyim, after the brackets, ha-gemara makshe yeshirois, the Gemara will ask directly on Rav Sheshes mimukuros, Al Haptur Sharaf Sheshes. It will be asking from Tanaic sources. You can see, if you can see where the diamonds appear, you have one at the end of this particular Amid. And if you have available Pei Gimel Amid Aleph, you'll notice another Mesve further down. And we've also provided numberings in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, a 1 in a diamond over here at the bottom, and a number 2 in the space to the right hand side of the Gemara text on the upper part of Pei Gimel. The note continues, but that the Gemara will be questioning from Tanaic sources on Rav Sheshes' exemption. B'toch ha-sograyim, the material contained within the brackets, HaGemara gam kein makshe al Rav Sheshes. The Gemara will also be asking on Rav Sheshes. She'im poitzim es moichoi simon shu chayov. The question will be that if it is so that they are smashing his skull, it is a sign that he really is guilty. So how can Rav Sheshes say that he is not guilty b'dei Shemayim? So once again, the structure of the Gemara is as follows. After the bracketed section, there will be questions raised on Rav Sheshes from Tanaic sources. Within the bracketed section, there's also a questioning of Rav Sheshes, but from a different angle, and hence we've separated the two sections of Gemara. So let's go straight through, having said all of that introduction. Elomai, what do you want to say? The Gemara says rhetorically. What does Rav Sheshes want to say? Eino chayov. Did you want to conclude that as a result of what it says in this source that poitzenes mochu shows that he's not guilty bidei shemayim? Because otherwise they should have just left him to be handled by shemayim. How can that be? He says, "Mi iko midi derachmona patre." Is there anything that the Torah would exempt someone like you're saying, like Rav Sheshis is saying that he's exempt min haTorah from heaven's perspective? He is exempt. Is there anything that could possibly be exempt from the Torah? V'ana nekum v'niktole, and that we will arise and kill him. That expression has been dashed, underlined to draw our focus that the argument against Rav Sheshis is this particular point. How could there be something that from a Torah perspective there is exemption and we would kill someone anyway? The Gemara asks, "Velo, is that not so?" Before we go on, notice the triangles that appear here. These triangles will be explained by the Mivneh note in the margin. Sidra shel nisyonos, there's a series of attempts lohiach to prove diyesh dvorim, there are things shatora poiteres mimi, so that the Torah exempts from death, like Rav Sheshis claimed. Rav Sheshis the anu mimisim oisoi, and we nevertheless will kill him. We'll notice also a double underline marking with dots in it. This at this point in the Gemara, when this marking appears, the Gemara will reject these attempts to defend Rav Sheshis' position. So once again, in the triangle sections as they come up, these are attempts to defend the position that Rav Sheshis takes. The double underline will actually be a dismissal, a rejection of these attempts. So let us see each one as we go along. So the Gemara, in response to the statement of wonderment just stated, says, is it not so? Is it not so that we can find things that there in fact is exemption from heaven and yet there is death? The Lo V'Hatanan. We have the following source. Misha Loka V'Shana, someone who was lashed by the court and violated again, based in Machnisin Oisoi L'Kipa. Bezin puts him into the squalid location known as the kippah. Of course, this is a sugya we did very recently. And he's left to die over there. Rachmona patre, the Torah doesn't give any indication that this person is to be killed. V'anan katlin olay, and we put him in the kippah and he dies there. Gemara says, this is not so. In other words, this isn't really an example. This, what's found in this Tanaic source, is not an example of someone that is not guilty of any form of death. Quite the contrary. Ha'omer of Yirmiyah, Omer Shlokish. Rav Yirmiyah explained, this source is b'malkos shel krisus askinan. We're talking about a person who received malkos because he received the lashings not because of a standard negative precept, but rather he violated a halacha that carries with it a kores penalty. Now a kores penalty is a form of death at the hands of heaven. So he was already guilty of a form of death, and hence when we put him into the kippah, we're just carrying out that verdict anyway. De Gavra Bar Ketelahu, he's a man, Bar Ketelahu, who is designed to be killed at the hands of heaven. So he's not an example of someone that's Rachmona Patre, as was mentioned before. Question, V'ha Goinev HaKasva, but there was the problem that was mentioned in that particular Mishnah of one who steals a kasva, and there too we saw him treated with the kippah. Or more accurately, let's correct that. We saw over there kanoyan poiginbo. This was found in the Mishnah on Pei Aleph Omid Beis. So that for the theft of this particular item, he is subject to death, even though the Torah doesn't expect him to die, and that would support Rav Sheshis. The Gemara rejects that. The Ha'omar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda explained the case of Goinev HaKasva is Beklishores Askinon. He stole temple service vessels.
Uramiza, and the remez, the reference to this act, is found in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, where it says, Lo yavo lirois kevala es hakodesh v'mesu. So the Pasuk, which is a Pasuk taught in the context of temple vessels, you also find, as we've dashed, underlined, v'mesu, that there is a death penalty that accompanies it. Once again, we ask, we raise a point that would defend Rav Sheshes and be a question on those that were questioning Rav Sheshes. V'ho'am akalel es ha'kosein. What about that? One who curses the kosein, which was also in the same Mishnah on Pei Aleph Omid Beis, and it said there, kanoi and poikinbo. The Gemara says that that is not an example of someone who's totally exempt from heaven's punishment. Ha'atani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef explained that what he's doing there is yake koisem es koismoi. One is cursing and saying that the sorcerer should curse or should hit the one who gives him the strength and the knowledge of sorcery, a reference to the Almighty. Demechsi kimavarech es Hashem. It appears that he is cursing the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So as a result of Mevorech es Hashem, he in fact is guilty of something that's death-worthy, and that the Kanoyim Poganbo is simply an extension of that, and hence not like Rav Sheshes' approach. Question, V'ha boil es hakusis? What about intimacy with the heathen woman? That's not something that, from the Torah perspective, is guilty of death. Well, as far as that too is concerned, Ha akril Rav Kana b'chalmei, V'adkere Rav Ligamrei. We had the incident above, where the incident that was featured on Omid Aleph, where the question was posed to Rav, and Rav Kana had a dream, and he recounted a posuk to Rav, and in that posuk you saw the word Yachres, and we've written that in between the lines at the beginning of this line, and dashed, underlined that, and also provided an arrow indicating to look for a corresponding arrow on Omid Aleph to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So if one flips back to Omid Aleph and scans the page and notices on the upper part of the page a parallel arrow indicating Omid Beis, pointing to the line where you see that very word, Yachres, which means to be cut off. So that relations with intimate relations with a heathen woman does carry with it a form of cutting off, of death. Hence, this too is not an illustration of Rav Sheshes' principle, and hence their wonderment still exists. Namely, Rav Sheshes wanted to conclude that the Kohen Shishim Shmetuma, someone who's Kohen who served in impurity, is exempt midinei shamayim, because it said that the Pirchei Kuna or Poitzin Es Mocho, if it were really so that he is exempt from shamayim, how could it be that they would have a right to kill him? Hence, they concluded that you cannot have a situation of someone who is exempt from shamayim and others having a right to kill. At this point in the Gemara, a question will be raised on Rav Sheshes from a Tanaic source, and what we will see in the source is that Rav Sheshes, he exempted a Kohen who was Mishamesh Betuma, he exempted him from Misabidei Shemayim. In this particular source, from an inference drawn from the source on the top of the next Amud, on the third line from the top, the Gemara will be saying there, Ha Mikdar Chayev, if a Kohen offers, while in a state of Tumah, he offers up a sacrifice, he is guilty. And the Gemara there says on the third line from the top of Pei Gimel Mouth, My Lav, Misa, is he not guilty of death? And that will be a Kasha on Rav Sheshes. But before we do that, we will end our shiur for today, being that this particular question spills over to the next omid. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.